are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 16th of April. A smorgasbord of topics as the Jazz get ready for the Pacers, and Phoenix isn't blinking. Plus, it's a points game Friday, and it's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our locker rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. All right, so when I say it's a smorgasbord of topics, I really do have a bunch of things. We'll run through kind of where the league stands quickly. George Niang was terrific the other night against Oklahoma City. I want to talk about him a bit. Clarkson revealed some interesting things about his injury. Donovan's on the verge of history. Boyan has done some interesting things. And the injury story that Baxter Holmes wrote in ESPN is that are there actually more injuries right now? So it is a smorgasbord. It's hopefully a good buffet. There's always the day like where you go to the buffet and you have a smorgasbord and you're like, hopefully this is not a show for you. Thank you for letting me have a day yesterday. I had some personal stuff I had to attend to. And so I just, getting a show out was not going to happen. 2 days off does not happen very often. I jumped on an airplane for the first time to go see someone. And I would tell you, by the way, holy Salt Lake Airport walk. Wow. Like, let's build a more inefficient brand new airport, Salt Lake City. Congratulations. It's terrific. It took me 54 minutes from landing the plane to getting to my car without luggage. Really? Wow. Okay. I'm sure a few of you will tweet me at DLock09 on that one. All right, let's get to it. Phoenix is not blinking. Kind of keep waiting for the fatigue and everything else and to happen and Phoenix to skip a beat here. And Phoenix is not skipping a beat. They didn't last night. They were playing Sacramento. You wouldn't expect them to, but it was close for a while. They rode Bridges 38 minutes. DeAndre Ayton is dominating. Unfortunately for us, they played Hassan Whiteside, Damon Jones, and Harrison Barnes as their center. Sacramento did against DeAndre Ayton last night, and he went 10 of 11 for 26 points and 11 rebounds. Unfortunately, Rashawn Holmes did not play, who's super good. And their bench just kind of keeps hanging around. Phoenix doing the same thing we're doing. They're staying relatively healthy, and they're charging us, and they're coming after us. And it's interesting, right? So it's down to a game, and we can't blink either. We've got Indiana today. Clippers have won 7 in a row. They notched one the other day without Kawhi Leonard and without Paul George. In fairly impressive fashion against Detroit when Reggie Jackson hit the game winner and Reggie Jackson put up 29. They started Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, Zubac Patterson, and Terrence Mann, and they won. So no one's blinking right now. The Phoenix, we didn't really expect them to blink. They have the Spurs at home, one more, and then Phoenix ventures out. Then it starts on April 19th. So Phoenix has one more at home against the Spurs, which they have to win. And then the five-game stretch we've talked about a lot, where they go east, play the five best teams in the East. And if they come out of that 3-2 and 4-1, it's still on. And if they come out 2-3 or 1-4, it's probably not still on. But that's how it's playing out. Otherwise, you know, I think everything's settling as anticipated. The Pelicans can't seem to win. They don't have enough outside shooting. Sacramento's fallen off, having lost 9 straight, so they're done. So really now the last question is whether the Spurs or the Pelicans get the play-in spot. And it actually is looking more and more like a high possibility. If we can hold the 1 seed, we see Steph Curry in the first round. And if Dallas catches Portland, your 1 seed is Steph Curry and your 2 seed is Dame Lillard. Dear God. The West is nuts. So that's the way it's all looking right now. I wanted to talk about George Niang. George Niang is talked about all the time for being one of the truly great guys out there. And he is. And I think, you know, it's a lesson for young players. Not everyone has that personality. Let's be truthful about that. You know, he's a special person. And not everyone can just do that. Now, I think, and that I think helped him stay in the league. Like, if you could have him in the locker room, you wanted him in the locker room. He's just that great a dude. But now I think we need to stop and just give him some credit. He has become a bona fide NBA rotation player with immense value. First off, he got to start the other night against a limited Oklahoma City team, and he had 18 points and 10 rebounds and 3 assists. Like, and that's really what he does. If you go back and probably heard it before, you know, he's the second all-time leading scorer in the history of Iowa State. So this is a guy who remarkably had to change his game from being a primary scorer, back to the basket, in the paint kind of guy who shot some threes but was not like not huge. I mean, he shot 140 by the end of his college career. But this guy averaged 21.6 rebounds, 3 assists. So he had great ball handling skills in college. He moved the ball well. He was a brilliant shooter. I think he shot like 55% around the basket. He was crafty. We see it every now and then. And then he came to the NBA. He got acquired by Indiana. And I think George would tell you that he didn't feel as though they necessarily gave him much interest at the 50th pick of the draft. He signed with them. They waived him a year later. He went to the Warriors camp. They waived him. And the Jazz signed him to a two-way contract in January of 2018. He goes 2017. He gets waived. He doesn't get signed for like three months. And he's just worked his way into being a really high-level, viable player. The thing that's most interesting about him this year is how good his defense is. This is certainly was, and I have, you know, I'm not going to lie, I have some concerns on the speed of a playoff game to the speed of his game, but at some point I probably need to stop because he's really just become a terrific defensive player in that he executes everything perfectly. He rotates when he's supposed to. He does. And defense, yeah, there's a level where there's a few defensive guys out there. You know, whether it's DeAnthony Melton or Lonzo Ball or Paul George, who have elite level Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, elite level physical skills and are able to play and do some things defensively that you know, really are elite. George doesn't have that. But what you have seen is him become much better at moving his feet. Teams used to isolate him every time on the floor. If you remember last year, we used to talk about on the show that my feeling on George was that I wasn't sure if he was a bad defensive player or not, but that the other teams thought he was. And so therefore, in this league, when you get labeled a poor defensive player, then you end up with so many teams just attacking you that you become a poor defensive player because trying to defend in this league is virtually impossible. And once you're labeled that, then teams just go at you. His defensive real plus minus numbers they're not great. They're just okay. They have him listed as a small forward and he's kind of a middle of the pack defensive guy, but let's go with it. That's right. Like that he's 50th out of 100, which is kind of where they have him. Well, if he's become an average defensive player, then he's a 41% three-point shooter over the last three seasons with Utah, who's an average defensive player. That's pretty great. He understands his role beautifully. His rebounding rate is not great, but it's not great. But it's not awful. And he showed the ability of the day to get 10. Like, that's probably the key to him being able to play real playoff minutes is being able to help on the boards. His rebounding rate's a 14%. It's, you know, he's shown better at different times of his career and probably could be better. We'll see. His assist rate is not great because that's not really what we're asking him to do. He, you know, frankly, he sits in the corner. He gets a bunch of looks and he buries it. And then what he's actually now done is as teams in this, during the season have changed their rotations so that they're going to the corner first, knowing that that pass is there. You've seen him get more of these angle threes, and he's nailing it. 2 years ago, he was, I think, about 40% of his threes were corner threes, and this year he's about 35% of his corner threes, or of his shots are corner threes. It's a 5% difference. It's not massive, but it's a little subtle, and I actually think if we ran the last period of time, he's just made another adjustment in his game. Like, this is what he's done his whole career, is taking these subtle little adjustments, whether it's improving just enough defensively when you're getting attacked every time, being an almost exclusively corner three shooter last year, to now having some spots where if you're above the break, you know, understanding what teams are doing to him. Angle left, he's at 46% from three. Angle right, he's at 38% from three. That's really good. His left side, he gets a three on the left side of the floor, you know, left-leaning George, like, it's over. Like, the slidey door on the minivan is on the left side of the van. He's at 46% on anything on the left side of the paint. That's a nice little improvement in his game that is allowing him to make a change in how he plays and what he's able to do. Last year, interestingly, by the way, his floor was completely right-sided. That's also a sign of just that the shooting numbers year to year actually don't correlate. It just kind of happens to be probably whatever team you're on, how you're getting your passes on that group. So anyway, I just think, you know, it was worth taking a moment. These subtle adjustments, a little bit better defensively, a little bit better with his above the break shooting, a little bit better with his rebounding, a little bit better with his passing, has worked him into being, you know, a really legitimate NBA player. And it's a great story. And he evolved, right? He went from being kind of a small forward scorer into a power forward stretch four shooter. And, you know, the new stretch four cannot be someone who just simply takes threes. That person, you now have to be able to drive. You have to be able to pass. Like, the Ryan Andersons of the world aren't staying in the league anymore. Those guys are gone. So it's an interesting, you know, good story there. That's kind of what I wanted to kind of tip of the hat to everything involving George. We'll talk about Boyan's growth, Clarkson, some interesting things, and some notes on the injury stories in the Jazz without favors today. Donovan on the edge of history before we jump into points gained. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Murdoch Hyundai. I am driving the North American car of the year. What? The North American car of the year. That's right. Hyundai was awarded the North American car of the year. Not my favorite Santa Fe, not the incredible Sonata, but the Elantra. The Elantra was named the North American car of the year, and I can totally see it. The one I'm driving right now is $26,000, which is on the high end for the Elantra. Most of them start a little lower, around 19. It's got every bell, every whistle, drives beautifully, basically has drives up the canyon for me with its all of its bells and whistles, the adaptive cruise control, the backup cameras, the blind spot, the collision avoidance, the hand-free liftgate, the lane departure, everything you can imagine. And the Hyundai Elantra at just $19,900 is where it starts. As I said, the one I'm driving is a little bit nicer right now. It's got a few more bells and whistles. But these are just remarkable cars for the price. It's a symbol of kind of what Hyundai has done in the marketplace of where you can get the most value for your dollar. Check it all out. The Santa Fe is fabulous. The Kona is the zippy little SUV, the Tucson. But right now I'm driving the Elantra, and I'm really impressed by what I see. Go check it out. Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street, Linden or in Logan. And feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com so I can set you up with a VIP meeting. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends at grip6.com. Grip 6, the best belts on the market. They've also got the Fastback wool ankle socks and the new wallet. It's really a cool device. You can tell there's a real creativity coming out of the Grip 6 building in Utah, trying to figure out what it is they're going to wear and how it's or what they're going to create next. The belts are just great, right? The belts are engineered without holes, flaps, or bulk. Quality craftsmanship guaranteed, an unlimited lifetime warranty from Grip 6, the new work belt series for those of you that are dealing with real lifting. Then for the rest of us softies in the world, I've The Classic Series is absolutely fabulous. I've got four different buckles and six different straps. It's all I'll ever need. You can get the Classic Men's Pack for $99 right now, and I believe that gets you three straps and three buckles, and now you're set. And you use the promo code LOCKED15, you get 15% off the men's granite belt, the gunmetal. And then if you want to get a little fun with it, there's the various colors, the Aurora, the Steel Blue, the Moss, as well in the Classic Series. If you're looking for something a little more high-end, I strongly suggest the Carbon Fiber. That's the one that I use when I want to have kind of the nicest look to it. And in the Naturalist Series, they've got some great ones for you as well with the various, some of them just sold out because they're so popular. So check that all out. The Craftsman Series would have the honey, the wood, and I think it might have the honeycomb belt in there as well. The walnut belt is the one I have for my brown belts. All right, that's all at grip6.com/locked15. That's grip6.com/locked15. Donovan with four attempts tonight, or today, 1 o'clock game, will move into the fastest player to ever take 2,000 three-point shots. He'll do it in 278 games. Dame Lillard did it in 293. That's 15 games faster. That's about 7, probably about 5%, pretty fast. Much good deal. And then Buddy Hield's next at 302, so that's about 24 games over 300. That's about 8%. So, and someone else is coming who's going to break that. But the game's changing. And this is probably the clearest sign of all of it, of how much the game is changing right now, is this record that Donovan will set today. It's also a tribute to Donovan to kind of how he's adapted his game and figured out how to get more threes off. Interesting Jordan Clarkson media session yesterday. Jordan was talking about some injuries he's been battling. He quoted a March 1 game against New Orleans that he got kind of a crack on his shooting hand. If you look at that, since then he's shot 37% from the field and 31% from three. Like, it somewhat correlates to when he kind of slide. On the sprained ankle, he talks about doing it in April. On the games against Dallas and Phoenix, those are the last two games he played that he kind of just did on both those two games, and you have the same thing. I mean, he shot 40% and 28%. So hopefully there's, this. I don't know about the crack in the hand. Sounds awful. But Jordan, if you go to what he was on the day in which before that happened, Jordan's shooting 45% from the field, 37% from three, taking 9 threes a game. He's averaging 18 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. 45-37 is pretty solid. You take him from that day, and it's a very different story, right? Like, he suddenly, last 17 games, he's at 37-31, and one of the least efficient players in the league. So let's hope that rectifies itself as he gets healthier, whatever that crack is. Jazz are without Fave. Looks like the Jazz are going to be most likely without Faves today. I think there's going to be a real effort, if we can figure out how to play, to rest Favors moving forward. I thought he looked a little, that leg is always an issue. And I thought he looked a little bit off the other day. Just kind of, he ran the floor and it jumped out to me. I looked at it and I was like, oh, that doesn't look quite right. So, it'll be interesting to see what we do at center without Faves, as he's doubtful with right knee soreness. Juwan Morgan probably could get some time. I know the coaching staff has always been a fan of Juwan. He just hasn't had a lot of opportunities. Obviously, Azubuike is still out from that horrific injury. I think he's pretty much probably done for the year at this point. Juwan's played 19 games this year in about 80 minutes. That's it. And they've all been, there have been, the most he's played in any game all season was he played 20 minutes against Dallas, and he played 10 minutes against Dallas on those two back-to-back nights, and that's about it. One of them, he was terrific, though he had 6 fouls in 21 minutes. The other one, he was kind of absent. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets the minutes tonight. The other choice would be to play Ersan Ilyasova as a 5. And that's, I think, a little bit of why the Jazz front office signed Ilyasova, was because if you actually look at what he did in Milwaukee, he started to play the five. This was an adjustment. He went, played 72% of his minute, or about 21% of his minutes in Milwaukee at the five, which he had not done before. He'd done a little bit in Atlanta, I think under Bud as well. And he was pretty successful in that. Last year they played him more as the four for the Jazz. You know, he really has not had a chance to do much yet. He's played seven games. He played 44 minutes. He's not been particularly good. He's just shot threes. His average shot distance is 22 feet. You know, he's old. He's 30. I think he's 35, maybe 34, maybe 33. By the way, interesting, his player similarity score I looked at the other day, for player his career most equally represented is Thurl Bailey. But he's a pretty good rebounder. And this is why they felt like they could move him into the five position in Milwaukee, is because his rebounding rate is actually kind of surprisingly good. He's a legit 6'10". I'm sure he's on the last legs. Like, I'm sure his knees aren't quite what they once were at 33 years old. But he was an 18% defensive rebounder, and a 19% defensive rebounder in the playoffs for Milwaukee the last few years. And then the regular season, when they needed him to kind of rebound, he was actually pretty good. He was at 22% last year and 17% the year before when he was bounced around a bunch of teams. I think actually finished the year before at 18%. So those are pretty good defensive rebounding numbers. It'll be interesting to see if that's something his body still has. Last year's were particularly good. And so he could play the five a little bit tonight or today. It'll be interesting to see. Speaking of Indiana, they're like just slightly above average across the board in every category, which means they can beat you if you're not good. They're 16th offensively, which is about average, 12th defensively, 13th shooting, 12th defending the shot, 12th at not turning it over, 9th at forcing turnovers. They're not great on the glass, surprisingly, with all their size. Malcolm Brogdon's their primary scorer, which I think Royce O'Neal will be back, which is probably the matchup that you would anticipate because of the fact that he, he's so physical and so big. And I think that that's really your only choice. And then you have Sabonis, who does kind of, as so many guys do, struggles with Rudy. He's a pretty good little force inside, but when he suddenly has to go up against Rudy, that's definitely a harder one for him than some others. And the only problem is that they probably will have back for them the services of Miles Turner, and Miles Turner ends up spreading Rudy out. And then if they play both of them together while they are slow defensively, you actually have to kind of figure out how you're going to deal with that, which is not the easiest thing on the planet. So it'll be interesting to see what the Jazz do there. If Turner pulls Rudy out and you keep him close on Sabonis. Brogdon last year, when guarded by Royce, was 0 for 3 in two games. When Rudy switched on him, he was 5 of 12. He's not an elite athlete. But he's big and strong and powerful, so he kind of had his way with Mike Conley, so look to see us try to avoid that. Then this year, when guarded by Royce, he was just 2 of 9. And again, that's kind of exactly what you'd expect, is that he's physical and strong and Royce can match him in the 2 years, so he's now 2 of 12 when guarded by Royce O'Neal. Sabonis is, as I mentioned, is the other one in there that you have to kind of worry about, and he's their second leading scorer and their second force. And this last year, Sabonis was 6 of 13 when guarded by Rudy, which is, fine, not great for them. And then this year really struggled, was 4 of 14 in the first matchup when guarded by Rudy. So in the last 2 years, Sabonis is 10 of 27. We match up pretty well against these guys. The question, again, would be, whether or not how they use Miles Turner coming off his ankle injury, and whether or not he's able to cause the Jazz any difficulties with the way he plays in that regard. So, all right, I think covers most of my notes. Donovan, Clarkson, Favors, George Niang. Didn't get to Boyan. He's been really good. He's kind of adjusted his game, taking more free throws. All right, points gained. coming up next. That is your smorgasbord of topics. Hope you liked it. Today's show brought to you by betonline.ag. At betonline.ag, you can get in all the action, whether it's the horse racing over the weekend or the sports betting of the day. And you can do it with the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% welcome bonus. All the baseball games taking place today. Giants are -1.5 against the Marlins. The NBA games available for you. They got everything. And they got fun politics stuff going out there. They've got the Trump will win yes or no bet you can place right now if you want to get in on that. They're fun. They've got everything there from sports to fun along the way. The Jazz today against Indiana are a 10-point favorite. The Clippers are a 3-point underdog against the 76ers. It'd be nice to have them drop a ball game here. Denver is a 8-point favorite against Houston. And Portland and San Antonio worth watching. Portland's a 2-point favorite in that one. Dallas 5.5 against the Mavericks there. And the various lines on what's happening with our NBA conference. Not a lot of changes other than Denver is now down to 1,400. The Lakers at +190. The Clippers at +280. And the Jazz at +325. It's all at betonline.ag. Built Bar. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. No other protein bar like it. Right now at Built Bar, jump aboard. I think the cookie dough bites are gone already. Man, they make these products. They're so good. Everyone's got to have them, and then they're gone. It's all at BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCKED15 gets you 15% off. Whether it's the double chocolate, the cookies and cream, the raspberry, the coconut, I'll be grabbing one here in just a minute for my breakfast before I drive my daughter to school today. It's Built Bar. Go check it out at builtbar.com to get your latest, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Mint Brownie made it, I think, to the finals. So check out that one as well. It's all builtbar.com. All right, let's do points gained. I have not looked. Let's start with the last 10 games. I have not looked at it yet. I ran the numbers, but I have not done the sort yet. We'll do it right now together. For those who are new to this, points gained is the amount of points a player scores over an average player with the same amount of possessions. So if Drew Holiday in the last 10 games has used 17 scoring opportunities a game, and he has scored 2.8 points more than the average offensive player, that's very, very good. We'll look at it. The hottest player in the NBA who is breaking the game right now is Steph Curry. His points gained over the last 10 games is 9.2. He's breaking the game. He's taking 50% of his shots as threes and making 50% of them, basically. He's close to a 50-50-90 right now. He's incredible. Giannis is also breaking the game. I might have missed it. He's only played the last three games, but he's averaging 35 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists. Kevin Durant, in his limited time, breaking the game. Now guys have actually played most of their 10 games. Davis Bertans and Duncan Robinson are the next two guys. This is really interesting. They're the hottest players in the league. Both of them are taking 80% of their shots as threes. Both of them are making 50% right now. They're changing the game. Valanciunas, Paul George, Rudy Gobert. So the dunkers and the three-point shooters are hot, along with these superstars, Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, then Dame Lillard at 3.4. Kelly Olynyk's been very good for Houston. I'm telling you what, Kelly Olynyk might be better than Victor Oladipo, and Wendell Carter might be better than Nikola Vucevic, despite what everyone. Here are the other players in the league that are hot. Drew Holiday, Marcus Morris, Robin Lopez, Clint Capella, Michael Porter Jr., Karl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, Robert Covington, Enes Kanter, Bogdan Bogdanovic in Atlanta, DeAndre Ayton, who we talked about a little bit earlier, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams, Miles Bridges, Danny Green, Brooke Lopez. Who's cold? Might not be Russell Westbrook this time. Jerome Washington has not played a lot. Sorry, I have to kind of look at who's played and who hasn't. Okay. Theo Maledon is the coldest player in the NBA right now. Not totally surprising. He's been completely thrown to the wolves at playing point guard for Oklahoma City. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if these guys recover from it. Here are the next set of coldest players in the league. Jalen Noel in Minnesota, PJ Washington, Charlotte, John Wall, Houston, Michael Carter Williams, Cole Anthony in Orlando, Luau Cabarrú in Brooklyn, Matt Dellavedova, Dwayne Bacon in Orlando, Terry Rozier in Charlotte, Kyle Kuzma, despite putting up big numbers, not doing it efficiently, Justin Holiday, who we'll see tonight for Indiana, Derrick Rose, Khalid Miller, CJ McCollum, Rui Hachimura, Seth Curry, and Tyrese Halliburton may be wearing out a little bit. Just a quick scan of Utah and Indiana as we get ready for tonight's ball game, or today's. How many times am I going to miss that, today versus tonight? Miles Turner's a 2.0, but has not played much. TJ McCollum coming off the bench, the thief, 1.6. Aaron Holiday, Doug McDermott, 1.4. Sabonis is at 0.4. And then all their other guys are negative. But Gogo Bataze is negative 0.4. Brian Bowen, minus 0.6. Malcolm Brogdon, minus 0.6. Jeremy Lamb, minus 0.6. Caris LeVert, who's always inefficient, minus 0.8. And Justin Holiday is immensely inefficient right now. Jazz players for the last 10 games. Rudy Gobert at 3.4, one of the hottest in the league. Mike Conley, 1.6, highest we've seen him in a while. George Niang, 1.5. Joe Ingles, 1.4. Jarrell Brantley, 0.4. Bojan Bogdanovic, 1.1. Derek Favors, 0.1. Donovan, minus 0.5, despite the scoring explosion. Ilyasova and Oni at minus 0.6. Jordan Clarkson, minus 1.3. Royce O'Neal at minus 1.2. Quickly, before I let you go, let's just check in as we walk toward the end of the season on who the hottest players in the league are. Sorry, I was just doing the sort. Steph Curry is now the most positive offensive player in the league, back to his historic spot. Hard to beat at 4.1. This is one of the great seasons. He should be an MVP candidate of what he's doing right now. Kevin Durant, Zion Williamson, 3.4, Joel Embiid, 3.3, Nikola Jokic, 2.8. This is incredible. Steph Curry's at 4.1, so he's a full point better than every player in the league other than Kevin Durant, Zion Williamson, and Joel Embiid in his impact. He's 2 points better than the top 10 player after the 10th player in the league, and realize that, like, there's only 10 players in the league that are, like, now there's actually 15 players in the league that are about a 2 in points gained. Curry's 4.1, Durant 4.0, Williamson 3.4, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, and Giannis are the next. Then Zach LaVine, who's out for a while, 2.7, Joe Ingles, 2.4. 56% of your shots at 3 at 49%. We'll do that. Rudy's next. This is why we win. Because of these two guys. Rashawn Holmes, 2.2. Kyrie's 2.1. Michael Porter Jr., 2.1. That's a big deal. Joe Harris, 2.1. All these Brooklyn guys. Kawhi Leonard, 2.1. Jared Allen and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are 2.1s. Dame's a 1.9, as is Norm Powell. James Harden's a 1.8. DeAndre Ayton's a 1.7. Paul George is 1.6. LeBron's 1.4. I'm just kind of scanning important players. Bradley Beal, 1.3. Lauri Markkanen's actually over 1. He'll probably get traded in the offseason. Least efficient offensive players in the league, Justice Winslow, Russell Westbrook, John Wall, Anthony Edwards, Cole Anthony, Alexei Pokuševski, Killian Hayes, Michael Carter-Williams, Andre Drummond, Victor Oladipo, Dylan Brooks, Jerome Robinson. Jazz players for the season now, and then we'll wrap. Joe Ingles, 2.4. Rudy, 2.2. Derek Favors, 0.7. That's a big loss tonight. Mike Conley, 0.7. George Niang, 0.2. Brantley and Hughes and O'Neal at all, 0.2. Bojan Bogdanovic at 0.1 for all of our worries about him. Minus 0.1. Donovan's now at minus 0.1. Jordan Clarkson minus 0.6. The rest of our bench kind of negative. Ersan Ilyasova really hasn't had an impact yet. All right, that is your points gained. That is Locked On Jazz today. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be with you at a 1 o'clock tip-off today. 2:30 tip-off on Saturday. So if you're heading around town, take me with you and listen on the radio. We'd love to listen, hang out with you. Ron and I would. Have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Now tell your smart device to listen to the most recent episode of podcast Locked On Today.